This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan, and my guest on today's show is YB Dr. Mazli Male. You may know him as the Member of Parliament of Simpang Renggam, and he's also the former Education Minister of Malaysia. YB Mazli recently launched a free online learning platform called Sophia, which he said will revolutionize education in the country. So joining me now on Zoom to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on education in this country and how his new platform will change the game is YB Dr. Mazli Male. Welcome to the show, YB. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you, Dash. Thank you for inviting me to BFM.
YB, you're someone who's very passionate about education. You've been very vocal about this, you know, over the years. What has been going through your mind over the past 10 months or so, looking at the way teaching and learning has been affected by COVID-19?
I mean, to be honest with you, Dash, I have less interest to talk about the past simply because the kids has not gone to schools for nearly a year. But I think the more pertinent question, the more important question should be contemplated and should be discussed seriously by the community, by the society, is the way forward. You know, whether we are going to start with this, what they call as the new normal, or we're coming back to the old normal. I mean, after everybody been vaccinated, I'm talking about the post-pandemic education. Right. Or are we going to a new normal? If there is a new normal, how is it going to be? And this is where I found that most of our, I would say, rakyat, most of people, most of the parents, most of the teachers, feel very clueless. They were left without any clue about what is the way forward and what is the master plan for the post-pandemic period. And even I could see on the social media, people are talking about what's going to happen on the 20th of January. School is going to be open.
That's right.
And kids coming back, teachers coming back. But parents are wondering, what are the precautious measurements that we're going to take? School will be open, or they're going to announce it's not going to be open. You know, all these things should be, all these concerns should be addressed. But anyway, coming back to your question, I think in the parliament, I keep voicing out the needs to have the Majlis Pendidikan, Majlis Tindakan Pendidikan Kebangsaan, akin to our Majlis Tindakan Ekonomi Kebangsaan, which is to discuss seriously about the way forward for education. Mm-hmm. And we should get as much as possible stakeholders and the representatives of the stakeholders to voice the concern, to discuss the matter seriously and holistically, and to provide a clear master plan of the way forward, how we would like the education to be, hence the future of the nation. Because it was a long answer.
No, I think you brought up a lot of good points there. And one of it is the confusion that parents are feeling, that teachers are feeling. Because my mom is a teacher right now, and my sister is still studying. She's doing her A-levels. And there's, you know, even in my family, there's a lot of confusion. And with this confusion comes a lot of frustration, right?
I think definitely there's no silver bullet to solve any problem. But again, should the government engage more with the stakeholders and keep communicating with the public on addressing these concerns and replying to all these worries and confusion, I think things would be different. Mm-hmm. So this is where I keep voicing out to the government that, and even to the minister, that it needs to communicate with the people. You need to engage with the people, especially with those who have a lot of interest with education, and on those who represent the teachers and also the parents.
And in a Facebook post recently, you called the current batch of students a lost generation. Can you explain what exactly you meant by that?
What I meant was, you know, what happened to the students that have not gone to school for nearly a year? So definitely they lost 1 year education. But what I meant with the lost generation, actually, is not my own coin. I mean, everybody talk about it, WHO talk about it, UNESCO talk about it, and, you know, a lot of international agencies voicing out their worries and their concern about the lost generation. We are focusing on those at the early foundational years, those at preschools in the year 2020, those at Standard 1 in 2020, and they're going to Standard 1 and Standard 2 in 2021.
Right.
The problem is most of them, at that foundation foundation state, they need to learn the very basic things of education, reading, counting, writing, whatnot, but they've not gone to school. And online learning is totally different
right.
from the traditional, conventional face-to-face learning.
That's
number
right.
one. And number two, the teacher's touch on, when talk about education, it's not only about learning how to read, learning how to write, but the most important thing is imparting the values to the children at that very early stage. And number three, just imagine, not everybody has proper internet access at home.
That's right.
Or what more, talking about device.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have at least half of the population, half of those generation, half of those children who, when they're coming back to school this year, they might not be able to read, they might not be able to write, they might not be able to count, they might not be able to interact,
Yeah, because schools are also about building social skills and interpersonal skills, right? It's not just about the books.
And the worst part is, I according to the survey done by UNDP and UNESCO, they found that most of the kids lost their interest to go back to school. And that's not only the case of those kids at that 2 years, but also in general, especially in Malaysia, if you still remember the year 2019, we launched zero reject policy
right.
to all schools that you should accept all children to come to school, be them the normal kids that missed their school for whatever reason, the undocumented citizens or undocumented children, and also children with special abilities or right. disabilities. I mean, these children, after missing the school for nearly a year, I couldn't imagine how hard will the parents and the teachers to convince those children to come back. I mean, they've been to school for nearly a year. They feel very complacent at home.
Exactly.
And maybe the streets, some of the kids, I watched them before my eyes. I mean, they're on the street. I was monitoring them.
Right.
How in the world are you going to take them back to school?
So, right.
I mean, it's going to be hard work, not only for the parents, but also to the teachers and the community.
But looking at, like what you brought up, this whole lost generation, and, because of the whole stop-start nature of the education process over the past year, do you think that this was something that was unavoidable given the pandemic, or could it have been handled differently, handled better perhaps?
Definitely. Mm. But, just like I mentioned earlier, I hate to talk about the past.
Correct, yeah.
But again, things would be different if the government have acted differently. When we talk about education, I keep emphasizing that education is the responsibility of everybody. It's not only the responsibility of the Minister of the Education or the Minister of Education, but also the responsibility of every agencies in the government, every individuals in the country, and every single person in the community. This is where, when we look at the issue of education, is we cannot put the blame only to the Minister of Education. Mm-hmm. You have the Minister of Communication to play their role. The Ministry of Luar Bandar, Ministry of Rural.
Right.
They have their role. And Ministry of Women and Family, they do have their role too. And KPKT, what more? And the PPT, the local councils. But we didn't see it happening, and it happened. Everybody put all the blame and put all those, burden only to the Minister of Education, which after the 10 months that we're going through, people thought and people perceived that they're not doing anything sufficient for education.
Yeah.
And everybody's working in silo. For example, Dash, when people are talking about internet connectivity, by all means, it's not the responsibility of the Minister of Education. When people are talking about TV Pendidik kan, as an alternative for those who miss or who are not able to attend their online classes due to the poor internet connectivity or whatever reason, but still they have a free access to the conventional TV station, RTM and NTV and whatnot, TV3. But still, we are missing that. If you look at our neighbor countries like Indonesia, they give 6 hours a day for TV pendidikan. Mm. But that not happen. That didn't happen in our country. I still remember in the parliament, some of our MPs from Sabah and Sarawak, they said that they are in green zone, green area. There's no COVID cases. And some of them, some of the schools is situated in a very remote area in an island or, you know, in somewhere that you need to take 6 hours journey to reach the place.
Wow.
They said that there's no COVID cases. And the school is just opposite the Rumah Panjang. Why can't we allow the schools to be open? So this is where I believe in autonomy. This is where since June or since May, I keep telling the Minister of Education to give autonomy to the PPD, Pejabat Pendidikan Daerah, and to the schools to decide whether to open or to close with proper guidance, with a strict guidance by the KKM, by Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia. That's one thing. I still remember, I keep mentioning this, and even during the peak of PKP,
right.
I did promote reading, campaign membaca. I feel very regret that the current government, especially the Minister of Education, did not continue the reading campaign.
Mm.
When kids at home, the very best thing for them to access to education is through reading.
Definitely.
But there's no serious reading campaign that has been launched, whether at the Kementerian Komunikasi level or Kementerian Pendidikan level, but also at the libraries level. You know, we have Pustakaan Negara and we have Pustakaan Daerah, Pustakaan Community or whatever. They did not really play their role. And what more, the university libraries. When the university students stay at home, some of them have good internet coverage, some of them are not, but they need to attend the online classes. But there's no initiative from the libraries to do an online borrowing and lending books from the libraries or delivery. If we could see people can shopping during the MCO with Shopee, Lazada and whatnot, why not we make a system of online borrowing of books from the library? But it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it has been 10 months.
On that note, we do need to go for a very quick break. I'm speaking with YB Dr. Mazli Maleh, who's a Member of Parliament of Simpang Renggam and a former Education Minister. And he's talking to us about the impact of COVID-19 on the education in the country, as well as his new educational platform, SOFIA. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan, and I'm joined by YB Dr. Mazli Maleh, who is the Member of Parliament of Simpang Renggam and the former Education Minister. And we are having a chat on the impact COVID-19 has had on education in the country, as well as YB Mazli's new educational platform that he just launched called SOFIA. So YB, we have been talking about the problems. There's no denying that there are a lot of problems, there are a lot of issues that need fixing, but maybe one solution to the problem is this new educational platform that you have just launched, and it's called SOFIA. Tell us a little bit about what SOFIA is exactly.
Okay, it's an online platform, a gateway, where I try to take as much as possible videos that have been produced by the educators that have been available in open sources like Vimeo or YouTube.
Okay.
So most of the videos produced by our own teachers and educators. But the problem, if any of the teachers, students and teachers go to the YouTube, they need to find it one by one.
Correct.
They go to Vimeo, they need to find it one by one. So what I did was we curated it. With the help of some educators that have been helping me in developing that website or that we say online platform, we try to curate it based on the levels, Darjah 1, Darjah 2 until Form 5. And then we also added some videos for matriculation students. And not only that, we also have subjects for SJKC, for the vernacular schools, and SJKT, And on top of that, we also provide special section for international school students for IGCSE. So we want to make sure that everybody can come to Sophia and nobody will be left out, be them attending the Sekolah Kebangsaan, be them attending SJKC, be them attending SJKT, be them attending international school for their IGCSE, and be them students from matriculation. They can find all the videos that we produce by their teachers, by their colleagues, but you know, in Sophia. So the very idea actually came up from Wikipedia and Netflix. When I went to my constituency during the flood season, not this one, the previous one.
Right.
This one, for we were very fortunate. Semparangam was not hit bad as others.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when I visited all those Pusat Pemindahan Banjir, I saw most of the kids' nose are hooked to the device, whether their parents' device or their own device. And I watched them, they're watching YouTube.
Right.
So, and most of the stuff that they're watching is either cartoons, it's either entertainment show or YouTubers or whatever they're watching. So I found that they could sit in one place for hours just watching YouTube.
Right.
And not only that, last time I jogged at the lake or at the taman, I found the cleaners, the workers there, the Bangladeshis, the Indonesians, and sometimes our locals, during their recess hour, during their break, they will watch YouTube. Came into my mind. And that's applied on the B40 people. But
right.
If we look at M40 and T20, definitely they're watching Netflix. During the MCO, the first very MCO that we have gone through last year, I mean, Netflix was the favorite, let me say, destination of most people.
Correct.
Some of them, they spend the whole day watching movies, yeah, after movies, series after series. So that came into my mind. I said, oh, people could go to Netflix. Why? Because they have everything there and Netflix have curated for them according to their interests, and thanks to the artificial intelligence, thanks to the machine who's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think same things could be done to education too. So I discussed with some IT experts, friend of mine, and some volunteers among the educators. And I said, why don't we come up with the Netflix version of education, where anybody who visiting that the web or the apps that we are building, they could go. If, for example, they're student in standard one, we will, the machine or the computer will push for them what is available on the web and what is suitable with them.
You know? Right.
If they are teachers, so they will be pushed, the contents will be pushed for them. Okay, these are the contents that are suitable for you. So it's not only for the school children. We're thinking also to expand it to university and colleges students, and also to the TVET and vocational students, the skills. And actually, I believe that education is not only about examination. Education is not only about what we learn within the four walls of the classrooms or the four walls of the lecture rooms, the lecture hall, but it's also what you learn from life. So right. This is where the next phase of Sophia is about creating a life university, you know, uh-huh, where the children, where adults would learn a lot of skills, be them the hard skills or be them the digital skills like coding, robotic, you know, all those sort of things from Sophia, which we curate all the skills like we're watching Netflix. It's a kind of free Netflix, free
right,
education Netflix to the rakyat. And they will produce by the rakyat, from rakyat to rakyat.
That is very, very interesting, right? But I'm also wondering, how does going to Sophia and watching these videos differ from the existing online classes?
Okay, number one, if you're talking about the online classes, the time is very fixed. For example, you have a class at from 9 to 10. You need to attend it from 9 to 10.
That's right.
They just need to sit there from 9 to 10. Students would need to sit there from 9 to 10. But have we ever asked ourselves, what happened to the teachers? They only have one or two devices and they have kids too.
Right.
So if they need to attend the online classes or they need to prepare the online classes from 9 to 10 and their kids also need to attend their own online classes from 9 to 10 and they have very limited device, what will happen?
Right.
So this is where I came up. The idea came into my mind, why not teacher instead? And not all teachers can conduct online classes. Some of them, they're very boring. I mean, to be honest, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
They are not trained to do that. I mean, they were pushed to this big ocean that they never swam before. But if they could go to Sophia and select some of the videos related to what they are teaching and to what their students need, they can go to the calendar and tell their students, okay, watch it at your own time.
Right.
Watch it at your own time. And I am recommending these videos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Choose any of the videos. And if you love, watch all of them. That's the best. But if cannot, you just pick one of them. And after watching the videos, give me your feedbacks. You know, those kind of things. But actually, this is only the beginning, Dash. What I'm looking at in the future, you just imagine that we need to prepare a platform where teachers and students could communicate in a messenger platform,
right,
that could do everything for education.
Right, because now currently the platform doesn't have a method where the students can interact with teachers, right?
No, that's the next phase of Sophia.
Yeah. I'm very curious, YB. This might be a bit of a silly question, but I'm just very curious to find out, why was it named Sophia?
It's not a girl's name,
okay,
by the way.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, it's a Greek word, Sophia, mm-hmm, which means wisdom.
Right.
This is where the word philosophy derived from. Philo means love.
Yes.
And philosophia. Philosophy means love for wisdom. People ask me, so why wisdom? So I told them, wisdom is everything in education. You may get somebody who managed to obtain a lot of A's or get a flying colors, but without wisdom, it's nothing.
All right. But here's the thing, right? Sophia is an online learning platform. Yeah. I've been talking to teachers. I've been talking to students. Many people say that online classes are not effective or at the very least, less effective than face-to-face classes. So what is your response to this argument?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Online classes is only a complement to the conventional classes. But again, just like I mentioned earlier, you cannot blame the teachers, you cannot blame the students because it's a new norm.
That's
and
right.
Most of the teachers were not trained for that. And they were pushed to this without any proper preparation. But again, this is going to be a new norm in the future. You did mention about online classes, and most of the online classes, like I mentioned earlier, is fixed. So it's fixed from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11. So you're forcing the teachers and the students alike to be at one place at a certain time. So just like you said, when they are boring, they cannot do anything. They cannot stop. They cannot say, okay, teacher, please stop.
Yeah.
Take 5, take 10. No, teachers are rushing. And you know, they have to face these things every day, and sometimes they got bored, especially when they teach, but they found out that most of the students are not there. They turn on the computer and they turn off the camera, but they're not there.
Yeah.
But if they're doing videos, and if they could take videos that have been produced by, you know, more well-trained teachers and from professional content providers and give it to their children, and the children, by their own pace, by their own time, can watch the video. Hmm. And I mean, you look how people watch Netflix for hours and how they watch YouTube for hours. And if, for example, the teachers providing the students with a lot of other interesting stuff they could get from Sophia, that the children could watch by their own pace, by their own time, at their own suitability, that would change everything. You know, instead of just, okay, you guys must listen to me from 9 to 10 and teachers are doing their best.
That's right.
Boring the students.
Yeah, very rigid structure.
Very rigid structure.
Yeah.
Rather than doing that, they just go to Sophia, watching it at their own time, and later on only they discuss with the students. So that would make things different. And, you know, talking about education, talking about online, it should be an interactive session. It's not a one-way interaction.
That's right.
You know, just not, while we are enjoying this interview, because I'm talking to you, you're talking to me,
yeah.
The same goes with the online classes. You cannot leave the teachers talking alone. That would be very ultimately boring for the children. Unless they're watching something which is interesting.
Yeah.
So this is where Sophia comes in. And the phase two, if we have enough volunteers, if we have enough funders or donors, we might try to create our own content through professional content providers.
But what about students who do not have access to the internet or don't have a computer? We know that this is a pretty big problem in Malaysia, especially in the outskirts, in certain rural areas, perhaps in Orang Asli settlements, in states like Sabah and Sarawak. This is a huge problem.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, that's a reality. But by any means, the government must strive forward to make sure that nobody is left behind when it comes to internet access. The telcos must play their role too. I mean, there are certain places that certain telcos wouldn't dare to go because not much people, not much customer who would subscribe to their. But again, they're making tons of money from the urban areas. Let's do some CSR, let's do some, you know.
Yeah.
It's business. And who knows, after 10, 20, 30 years, things would change. So, yeah, at the moment, Sophia might not be able to reach those students. But again, if something changed after Jendela, you know, government has initiated Jendela. If Jendela managed to change the situation of the internet access for those unfortunate community, I think Sophia would be meaningful for them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And how can people access Sophia?
Okay, they can go to sophia.my, sophia.my, through the internet. Or in the near future, we're going to produce our own apps for Sophia too. So they can download the apps on their device. Just click the apps, we'll lead them to Sophia. But at the moment, they need to go to the internet and type sophia.my.
And then they need to register and things like that?
They need to register because the machine or the computer need to learn something for the machine to push for them the content. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned volunteers earlier. So if there are any teachers who would like to, you know, volunteer in this process, would like to upload videos, how do they go about it?
We welcome that a lot. And they can just go to sophia.my and there is a registration for what we call a Sophia community, where we try to enrich our contents through the Sophia community. And after nearly a week of the launch, we have received a lot of contents that have been sent by the volunteers, by teachers, and by some content providers as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before I let you go, YB, we are running a little short on time already. Do you have a final message for us?
Final message. So education is very important. It determines the future of our nation. And education is for all. The quality education is for everybody, every single individual in this country. And education is also the responsibility for every single individual in this country. Mm-hmm. So we must work together inclusively. We must work without any discrimination when it comes to education. We work beyond or above politics, ideology, race, and whatever. We must work as Malaysians together to enhance the level of education of our people. And we must make sure that education will always be the major priority, the main priority of this country.
Definitely. And on that note, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, YB.
I thank you and I thank BFM for inviting me.
That was YB Dr. Mazli Maleh, who is the Member of Parliament of Simpang Renggam and the former Education Minister, talking to us about the impact COVID-19 has had on education in the country, as well as his new educational platform, Sophia. So if you missed any part of this conversation or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my. We're also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search BFM Live and Learn. Once again, I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Live and Learn on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.